books for them.
Very special to have in our midst many friends and family from Joe and Bethany, we welcome you all, along with the rest of the congregation, and we pray that we together may have a very blessed and profitable morning hour of worship. For that's what a church service is all about. It is not about baptism. It's not about children. It's not about adults. It's about God, the God of heaven, whom we are to bless. And Psalm 68, verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." May that be in our heart today as we come before to worship God. Let us now stand, begin with prayer and receiving of God's blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, and who keepeth truth forever, never forsaking the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Opening psalter this morning is 222. It's written for a summon to a joyful worship. We'll sing the first five verses. "Now to God our strength and Savior, render praise and loudly sing. In our Father's God rejoicing, all our noblest music bring." Psalter 222, we'll sing verses 1 through 5. Read now together first from the book of Exodus out of chapter 20. This is where we read and hear the law of God, which the Lord God has given us to remind us of what will make a relationship with him close and blessed. There is no way that we can have a good relationship with each other if we don't love, and if we don't care, and if we don't obey the rules that God has given us. What are those rules? They are given to us in Exodus 20. So after we have read these, we'll sing Psalter 41, verse 6 and 7, which is a prayer that is obvious as you will sing it with us. So let's listen then. Exodus 20, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. There's the relationship. Which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No competition. No sharing. It is solely me, God says. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, and thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, as any husband would be jealous of the love for his wife and of his children as fathers. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Ties in well of this morning's ceremony of baptism. The name of the Lord is written on these two children as it is on us. We are not to take that name and bear it in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Fourth commandment applies to this day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger, thy visitors that are within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it special. Fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. So let's sing now in prayerful thoughtfulness before God from verse 6 and 7 of Psalter 41. I'll read now again from the scriptures, the same book, Exodus. For those of you who haven't found that yet, that's the second book in the beginning of the Bible. And we're going to read chapter 15, just the first part of it. And then we'll read Psalm 81 later in the service. So now let us listen to the song of Moses and the children of Israel that they sang together after the remarkable deliverance through the Red Sea, where God made a path through a water and delivered them from the persecuting Egyptians. And then they sang this song, Exodus 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. His horse and his rider of the Egyptians has he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. He's my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host, his army, has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. And sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. And all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. So far then, this amazing song of praise and thanksgiving, which is very much tied in to what we will read later from Psalm 81. Let us now unite our hearts in prayer together and seek the Lord for the blessing on this special gathering today. Faithful God and Father, The words that we read together from the psalm this morning, blessed be the God, the Lord, who daily overloads us with his blessings. We bless thee, O God, though our words are but a poor means to do so. May our life, may our walk be the talk of our thanksgiving, of our admiration, of our appreciation, but above all of our worship. Thou hast prepared us again a feast day, for that is what Sundays are, when thou hast commanded us. And that is a very gracious command, Lord, that we do not need to work today, that we may rejoice, and that we may be refreshed, not only in our bodies, but above all in our minds. And Lord, thou knowest what onslaught there is on our mind every day, as we are plugged into all the devices, it seems like, every day and all day. May we this morning be unplugged. Help us to hear, as we've never heard, what thou hast to say to us, that we may worship thee genuinely. And thereto, Lord, we beg that thy Holy Spirit may not be withheld from us. Thou knowest what thou can expect from us. There is nothing in us, Lord, that is able to give thee what thou art so deserving to receive. But thou hast made known that thou art a God who art pleased to work in the heart of a sinner, and to make them able in the day of thy power. Let this be a day of thy power. We thank thee for bringing us here with so many family and friends in this special service. And so, God, indeed, unite our hearts to the great purpose of this moment. Thou cannot accept our outward motions without the inward emotions. And we pray, therefore, prepare our hearts as the fruit of thy Spirit's work in our mind and in our mouth, that we may give thee praise. We gather here, Lord, as guilty sinners. Maybe not all of us are keenly aware of that. And therefore we pray, awaken us to thy glory, to thy majesty, to thy holiness and to thy love, and that we may indeed sense the need for Jesus' blood and for Jesus' obedience and merits. O God, please take our hearts and melt any indifference towards thee. Undermine our rebellion. Overcome any doubt, and open our hearts to hear thee speak today, not only through the Scripture, but also to this visible water of holy baptism. And Lord, it is not just a ceremony. It is not just a special service only for Keziah and for Kylie and for their families. It is a special service for all of us, as thou art pointing out that with thee there is forgiveness. And that's what we need, Lord. Thou art showing us again this morning, as we need water to wash our bodies, so we need Jesus to wash our souls. Embed deeply the truth that thou art not here with us as an angry parent, but as the most loving, gentle, good, and gracious Lord, seeking us that we may seek thee. Lord, thou art faithful, amazingly faithful. Thou art patient, unbelievably patient. Make us to stand in awe for thee. Take all of our hearts and draw them away from the distractions of this daily life. Help us to understand that we also this morning, Lord, may not here be completely mystified by what we hear or think. Rather, let thy word be plain. Take thou us as personally into thy arms, as our parents did to us when we were born. And Lord, we pray for Jesus' sake, pardon our sins and renew a right spirit within us. Teach us something of the song that we just read. Not, Lord, in the same circumstances as these Israelites experienced in the deliverance of the Egyptians that were ready to kill them. But Lord, that we may see it in a spiritual way. Teach us a new song to sing thy praises as they did, being purchased, being separated, being redeemed, having been led out of Egypt, having been led to the Red Sea. And that event, Lord, is something like baptism also. Oh, please make us all see this morning the wonderfulness of thy goodness. And make also us stand amazed, O God, that we are given such great spiritual privileges that are not given to everyone in this world. For thou knowest that our hearts are just as much the workshop of evil as anybody's heart. And yet thou made a difference in our lives, as also this morning, Keziah and Kylie will receive this mark of the name of thee on their foreheads. O God, what is that a privilege? That thou art willing, and that thou art committing thyself to be the Lord their God. And we pray, Lord, that thou would teach us all what thou taught so plainly in the Scriptures, that we need to be born again. That's true for Keziah. That's true for Kylie. That's true for us all. Young or old, cause thy Spirit to enter into us. Lord, thou bless the instructions to Joseph and Bethany and Tyler and Emily and all of us as moms and dads, as elders, as deacons, as pastors, as teachers, may give to our children. Lord, let that draw our children as well as us. Let that unite our hearts to love thee and to fear thee, to respect thee and to honor thee in our daily walk. Bless also the message, Lord, of this sign and seal of baptism to strengthen the faith of thy people among us. Maybe many of us feel discouraged. We may feel downcast because we cannot seem to get rid of those very sinful thoughts and desires that keep on battling within us. Oh God, let all of us be convinced this morning that there is forgiveness with thee for us, and that thy blood cleanses from all sin as the water cleanses the body. Bless all the gatherings of thy people in worship, in prayer, and in praise, and in the teaching of thy word of truth throughout this world. O gracious God, make each of us who are to lead the worship services mighty in the Scriptures. Help us to preach with warmth and with conviction and with clarity and simplicity and with compassion. O God, let thy heart speak through our words. Uphold all those who struggle with sickness and sorrow or facing surgery. Thou knowest the needs of Brother Reverend Vogelaar. Thou knowest the needs of many others, Lord, who likewise face these needs. Remember thou thy promises for thy persecuted people around the world. Let them feel thy presence, thy comfort, also in an hour like this, when we may here pray for them, that they may sense the communion of saints in the body. Lord, hear now our prayer, be with those who are listening at home or elsewhere. Will thou bless this message? We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next singing this morning is from Psalter 389. And we'll sing the first five verses and then also verse 18. So 1 through 5 and 18. It is speaking about the unfailing faithfulness of God. This is also the time in our worship services that we give our offerings and tithes as the Lord may enable you. And offerings this day are again devoted for the support of the general cost of the congregation. So Psalter 289, 1 through 5 and 18. Now, if you can, your scriptures, those of you not familiar with the Bible, it's almost the very in the middle of the Bible. Book of Psalms, Psalm 81. So I'll give you a moment to find that psalm this morning. It's a very appropriate psalm for the occasion like today. It's a joyful feast day today. Not only because it is Sunday is a feast day. I hope that we are able at home to make our children also feel that. It's not a day where you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's certainly something of that as well. But it is meant to free us so that we can devote our attention to God and to each other on this special feast day. Now, Psalm 81 was written for a feast day. Let's read it from beginning to end before we look at what the message in that is for us today. It's a psalm given by Asaph, and he says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." That's the general call, that we are to praise the Lord. Verse 2 was written to the Levites. Those were the musicians in the temple. "Take a psalm, bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery." And the third verse was for the priest. They were the ones given the task to blow the trumpet. "So blow up the trumpet in the new moon," that was the feast day, "in the time appointed and on our solemn feast day." For this was a statute. This was a command for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph. That's again another word for the Israelites. "For a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt. Where I heard a language I understood not, I removed his shoulder from the burden." This is the Egyptian burden. "His hands were delivered from the pots." The Egyptians were slaving them. "Thou callest in the trouble, and I deliver thee. I answer thee in the secret place of thunder, and I prove thee at the waters of Meribah." That's where God made the water come out of the rock. Selah. Then God begins to speak, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify, I will witness unto thee. Hear, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries, and the heathens of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock." Not just water, honey should I have satisfied thee. Psalm 81. Psalm for a feast day. This is a feast day, and it's noticeable in the family members from Joseph that are here today. It's a special day for Don, for us. Special day for Keziah, for Kylie, for the parents, for us as congregation, for you and me. So it's appropriate for us to have a psalm like 81 and sing something like we read from Exodus 15 this morning. And why is this a special day? Because God is going to bind himself. No, God is not going to bind himself. God has bound himself to these two children already that are born of a Christian family. But this morning, He will solemnize that with the sign and the seal of the covenant. That's solemn, that's important, that's special. But that's not the first reason why we have baptism. Baptism this morning is first of all to remind all the believers in our midst about God's grace. This past week I failed. I had wrong thoughts. I might have said some wrong words. I wasn't always upright. I failed. And that sense of sin is always kind of a depressing feeling. And the Word of God indeed speaks about it, that there is forgiveness with God, and that's sometimes hard to believe because you say, "Ah, Lord, did it again. Can't keep on doing this." But that you would not forget and that you would not be ignorant of my grace, so sufficient. God this morning not only tells us in the Word, but he also tells us in the sacrament. He shows us his willingness and his abundant sufficiency in grace. Now this morning, I'd like to draw your attention mostly to verse 10 of this psalm. That's of course not the only verse, but let's key in on that. Here's God speaking. "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." That's God's message this morning to his covenant people. There's three things he's saying. Hear my plea. Secondly, believe my promise. Thirdly, feel my pain. This psalm is a very open psalm, in which God really lets us feel something of the heart of a parent. He loves Israel. As we read from Exodus 15, they stood at the other shore of that Red Sea, and they worshiped God, and they said, "Lord, thou hast redeemed us. Thou hast purchased us." And Moses would later on say, "And the Lord did that because the Lord loved you, Israel." You know, that comes out in that first verse of verse 8. "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou would hearken unto me." Oh, it's not just a plea. "Hear, O Israel." I could say it that way, and you get the point. Yeah, the Greek, the Hebrew verb form is not a plea, it's a command. So when we talk to you kids as fathers and we say, "Hear, boy, listen to me." Right? You have that voice. And yet, look at the little word, "oh." "Hear, O my people." There's more than just a command there. You feel the feeling? There's a feeling of appeal there. "Listen to me, children," God says to his Israelites. And he says it this morning also to his people here. It's a fatherly plea. For God looks on the Israelite church of old as his firstborn son. These are his children, outwardly. He has brought them out of Egypt. He has adopted them as the nation. Now, you say, "Hey, that's the old Israel. We're today in 2018 in Wopan. What's that has to do with me and us?" Well, if you are part of that Christian church today, then you can draw the line right from there to here today. That is one line in the Bible. He has extended the Old Testament church into the New Testament church. He's widened it. And those of us here this morning who have also that sign of baptism on their forehead, you were reminded and you are reminded of that this morning again, that God says, "Hear, O my people. You are my people. You belong to me." And just to remind us again of what we just read this morning, "You shall not take that name of the Lord you bear on your forehead lightly.
No, that's not going to rob anything of me, but it's going to rob something of you. I don't get less by it, God says, but you will become less by it. Hear, O my people, hear, O Israel, and I will testify, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Congregation, this truth is staggering. The Almighty God, this majestic being who created all things, is looking down on us, and he stands here appealing to us as a father appeals to his son. Do we do that, fathers? Not only command, but plea, let that love, that gentleness, that passion and that compassion carry through in how we speak. Why would God now do that? Why would he have chosen those Israelites? You know, from the history of the Bible, they were not the nicest people. The nation Israel was a stubborn, stiff-necked, stiff-hearted, just so rebellious, unthankful, ungrateful. Ah, what an headache they were to God. Well, any other nation would have been a headache too. Because it's what we all are. There's no difference between us and them. And so it is a tremendous revelation of God's loving patience and gracious long-suffering and, above all, his good pleasure. Can you see why this is a feast day today? Hear, O my people, I will testify unto thee, if thou would hearken unto me. Your young parents, Bethany and Joseph, and Tyler and Emily, at this moment you're not pleading yet with your baby, except when it doesn't stop crying. Right? But it comes a moment that we are going to plead with our babies and our children. Says, child, I mean the best for you. When I tell you not to go on this computer so often, I do not want you to think, I don't do this because I don't love you. You plead with them. You also use your authority. Of course you are too. But you plead with them. As a divine parent, God says, hear, my people, I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou would hearken unto me. He testifies to us about what is good, what is profitable, what will in the long run be for your greatest blessing. That's exactly what I did as a father. That's what you will do as a father and a mother. That's what we will do as parents, don't we? We plead with our children. And therefore God says, there shall be no strange God in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. What's God saying? Just the same as I said to my parent, to my children. Children, listen, I'm your father. Don't trust any stranger to be your father. They may come with big toys, they come with big promises, they can come with lots of candy. They make it sweet and attractive, but listen to me. There shall be no stranger that you are going to trust and follow. I am your God. I am your parent. I am your father. I am your mother. That's how God speaks here. Israel, listen to me. There shall be no strange God in your life. Don't give your heart to the idols. Don't listen to those things. Follow me. Listen to me. Trust me. I am here for you. And I will be there for you. All the other gods are going to hurt you. They are idols. They will lead you astray. They promise fun and pleasure and success, but they lie and they deceit. Hear that? There shall be no strange god unto thee is not. Now look, I'm going to put up this boundary, and that's just because I put up this boundary. And don't you dare to transgress the boundary. That's not how God speaks. God speaks as a loving being. seeking the well-being. Yes, he says, this is the boundary, child. And here is unsafe, and here is safe. Look, child, here's the boundary. Here is hurt, and here is blessing. Oh, stay within the boundary. And you will experience my nearness and my joy and my strength and my care over you. Fathers, mothers, parents, make sure you let the words of God speak to your children. This is your task as parents. This is your task when you are soon giving your promise to do so. But don't ever make God speak as an angry God who's out to get you. That's not the presentation this scripture gives us at all, does it? God is angry with sin and sinners. There's no doubt about that. But let us approach them out of this heart of this fatherly God who speaks to us this morning. We need to be in loving, as a loving parent. That's how he speaks. Who has covenanted himself to this people Israel and to us as a church. Nine times this morning again we heard it. As we hear it every Sunday, right? I am the Lord, your God. You and I are having a relationship. And I started that relationship, not you. I brought you out of Egypt, or in our case, I kept you out of Egypt. I brought you into the Christian church. I brought you under my teaching. I brought you under my influences. And that is not your choice. That was my choice. Why? Oh, because I had a desire to do so for you. Let this God speak. Also out of our children, in our children's lives, out of this covenanting initiative. That's exactly what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6. Fathers, mothers, bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Notice first word, nurture. What is nurture? Nurture is a cherishing of a relationship. Nurturing is that feeling, that creation of a unconditional love. This is commitment. I'm here for you, child. Nurturing is that interaction that we have our children in the beginning when we hold them and we cuddle them and we strike over their cheeks and we strike them over their faces and we kiss them and we hold them tight. And that's nurturing. And after that comes admonition. You haven't started yet telling your children what 1 + 1 is, right? You haven't told them yet, don't touch this and don't touch that. You haven't done that yet. That's admonition. That comes next. The first thing is nurturing. You nurture this baby. You nurture them in the feeling that you are the parent committed for them. You are there for them all day and all night. That feeling is crucial in any child to develop. After that comes the admonition. Too many of us forget the nurturing part, and we are doing admonition, all right. That doesn't bind. And so God does. In the first part of the scriptures, he's continually nourishing and nourishing as he deals with the Israelites. But of course, he also will teach them, instruct them in what your child needs. In where that what they need is to be received in God. They need to be born again, parents. They need a new heart. They're just like any other Israelite child, evil from the core. Sons and daughters fallen. Sinful and idolatrous. And so we need to teach them where that comes from. And where that is to be remedied. Now let's look at the second part of this scripture. And that is Jehovah's promise. He says, believe my promises. There's three promises in this scripture. After he said, hear me, listen to me, don't have strange God. I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I am the one who was there for you. That's the first promise. I am the Lord thy God. Literally in the Hebrew it says this, I the Lord am thy God. I, Jehovah, I, the covenant God, am your God. That's a promise. That is a commitment. I brought you out of Egypt. I kept you out of Egypt. Such a privilege brings a lifelong obligation. Children, speak to you for a moment. Can I have all your eyes at me? Oftentimes, maybe you think about the other kids out there today who are not sitting in church, who don't have to go to Sunday school. You think, well, I wish I could have that too. Go play basketball, soccer. Why do I have to go to church? Don't think that. It's not right to think. It kind of hurts God too when you think that. Why does that hurt? Because He took effort to bring you out of this, to help you to learn about Him. So that you would, in your life, learn to trust Him and learn how to not only go through this life, but how you exit this life, finally. It's God's care over you. It's a tremendous privilege. It's a real blessing. Thinking about many children in this world today who are not born in that kind of a setting. They're kind of born in a barren wilderness or on drowned paths of human life. Think of about a sheep walking on this barren ground, here and there a little bit to nibble of, but nothing like the lush grass that we see in our fields around us. Compare yourself to that. Where are you? Now listen to what the Bible says where you are. You are placed as a sheep in Jehovah's pasture. Jehovah's pasture. Green grass. I think it is a tremendous privilege, kids, that I grew up in that very place that you grew up in. I wasn't always so thankful about it either. I wasn't always so happy about it either. Indeed. But God brought us here, and now I see His goodness. Now listen to what God says. I am the Lord your God. I, the Lord, am thy God. That's my pledge. I'm here for you. I commit myself to you. See it this morning, when I may lay the hand with some water on the head of these two children. You know what God says to these two children? I'm here for you. I am the Lord thy God. And with a very sacred oath, God swears, I am for you. Bethany and Joe, Tyler and Emily, will you not omit to nurture that thought as your little baby grows up? They are in an evil world with an evil heart. The world that lives outside lives within your children's heart. It will come out. Every parent feels the disappointing pang when they finally see or first see that little evidence of it. But don't forget what God says. I am the Lord thy God. He didn't bring these children out of Egypt. He kept them out of Egypt. He kept them of the slavery of all the polluted, sinful influences that are around there. What a blessing. All what I owe is yours, God says. My wisdom, my grace, my power, my love to protect, my power to save, my spirit to comfort, my word to teach, my son to atone. I am the Lord, your God. I'm committed to you. Who dares yet to think of God as being my enemy? We are enemies, not him. Second promise, open your mouth and I will fill it. Oh, that's the third. Let me first go to the second. God's second promise, I am there for you in every need you have. God here declares in this chapter his utter devotion to his covenant people. Open thy mouth, like little birdies in a nest, wide. You get the feeling? God says, don't be shy about what you're going to ask me. Open your mouth wide. We don't say it to our kids. But God says it to his children here in the covenant psalm. Open your mouth wide like the little birdies in the nest and like the children in the crib. And if you need bread, you let me know. If you need wisdom, you let me know. If you need strength, let me know. If you need guidance, let me know. If you need answers, let me know. I'm there for you. And I am the Lord your God. I am the Almighty, the All-Sufficient. I have everything available for me. But I make everything available for you. I am Lord thy God. Open wide. John Newton, the author of the Amazing Grace poem, also wrote this, come my soul, thy suit prepare, that means thy request. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee, told thee, pray. Therefore will not say thee nay, no. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Beautiful, isn't it? Open your mouth wide. And I will fill thine every need. That's the third promise. The third promise is, he says, I will fill it all. I will fill all your needs. Congregation, God is not a man that he will lie. This is his word. I will fill your need. You say, I have prayed so many times already, Pastor. I have begged the Lord. I have confessed, but I'm still having this need. I don't get an answer. Where's the truth of this then? Well, let's have three checks. Always have to ask yourself first. Don't doubt God. Never doubt God. God is truth. What he said, he will promise to do. So if I am not getting the answers, I need to ask myself, is there anything in this psalm, Lord, that I need to take heed to? Let's read on. But my people would not hearken to my voice. Israel would none of me. Verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Let me give you an example, children. Imagine that you are one of these rebellious teenagers. And you're pushing every button on your mom and dad. Every day. You're walking along the lines that they have told you not to walk through. But you're ignoring it. You're just breaking your promises. You don't come home or you don't do the things you promised to do or asked to do. And of course then you open your mouth wide because you want the things of your mom and dad. What are they going to do? Are they going to indulge you? Or are they going to talk to you, well, child, listen, I am here for you. But you know what? If I keep giving you all these things, and you keep running the way you go, I'm feeding you the wrong way. So I'm going to say, no, I am not filling this request. Fair enough. So God does. Yes, His promise is there. That's no lack on His side. But it's like the old father said, when we do not mind to what God speaks to us in His Word, He little minds what we speak to Him in prayer. Fair enough, isn't it? That's how we do it. So let's check. Have we asked God in faith? Have asked God in faith and in humility. Not as a demanding, Lord, serve me. I'm here, the king, and thou art there, the servant. I resist that. I've had a lot of kids. But that's not going to happen in my family life. That I become the everlasting servant and they are the eternal king. That's the wrong way around, children. Sometimes you see that, right? These people are walking the dog, but really the dog is walking the person. They're just going like this the whole time. Now, there's a lot of parents like that too, but God is not going to be like that. He is not our everlasting servant to fulfill all our demands that we consume on our lust. So again, check number two. If God is not answering. Number three. Am I indeed doing what God is asking me to do? Some people think that prayer is a magic button. Just pray about it and then it's all going to be well. No. It's never what the Scripture says. When God says, pray for your daily bread, that's not a magic button. I don't have to work now. Yeah, give me thy daily bread, Lord. Bless my labor. I labor, will thou bless it. So it is spiritually. God indeed will bless us when we seek Him and when we call upon Him, when we do so with an honest and an observant life to His Word. Now you look at verse 11 to 16, you notice what these people all could have been receiving and they didn't. God will bless us with His Spirit when we obey and trust Him alone. I was speaking this week to someone, and an example came to my mind. He says, look, when you were dating way back with your present wife or present husband, imagine this. She's asking, or he's asking for your hand and for your heart and for your life. But at the same time, you are having another interest on another lover somewhere. You got another one. Are you going to get a yes from that person that you ask? No. There's competition. Now, so it is with God. I am a jealous God, God says. I have the right to be the only one. No strangers. No competitors. And so, my friend, if you're asking the Lord and He is seeing in your life there's competitors that you give your life, your time, your devotion to, then you are going to get what God concludes this psalm with. Feel my pain, He says. I'm going to read verse 13 to you again. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I see in my mind fathers and mothers. They're old now. Their hearts hurt. Why? Because their children have completely gone the wrong way. And what do they say when you meet them? They'll say this, oh, that my child would have listened to me. That's what God is saying. God is pained, He says, about the sad departures. Don't ever think that God did or does this in verse 12 without divine emotion. He says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Do not think that God says, I'll say plainly, I'll kick him out of the door. That's not what God ever does. But he will let you go. Just like the father of the prodigal son did when he says, Father, I don't want to live here anymore. I want my own liberty. I want my own life. Just give me my inheritance and I'm out of here. Father gave him the inheritance. He opened the door and he let the boy go. That's what God does too with people. He lets people go. But don't think he does it without pain. Not because he is losing, but you are losing. And that causes divinely pain in the heart of this God. That's why I said this is a very open psalm in which God speaks so loving, so gentle. Now, parents, that God now says this to us about his people that would not listen and he would leave them go. And God does not let us know this pain as some kind of an emotional blackmail. I want to warn about that. Parenting is not emotional blackmail. Oh, child, if you do that, you are going to make me feel so bad. That's no parenting. That's emotional blackmail. That can have a lot of power over a kid for a long time, but it doesn't win their heart for you. That is called emotional tyranny rather than parenting godly. That's not what God does that. God is not saying this, if you go this way, no. God says, it pains me to see my people walk out of my pasture and go into the neighbor's pasture and forsake me as the shepherd and embrace another shepherd. That pains God. That's what you and I need to feel this morning when we think about this great God of mercy. And I'll close with reading one verse of Isaiah 48 that will explain that very well. Verse 18 and 19. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Hear that again? Oh, that thou would have listened and obeyed my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also would have been as the sand, and thine offspring as thy bowels like gravel thereof. God says, if you would have only listened to me, your peace would have been like a river. Just like he says in this psalm and the conclusion. Oh, if they would have hearkened. I would have turned their enemies. I would have fed them with the finest of wheat. I would have given them honey out of the rock. Precious word. This Psalm 81. So as we conclude, what shall we ask the Lord? Open thy mouth wide. Begin with the new birth. Children, ask the Lord today. Cause my heart to be new, Lord. But don't only ask. Make also some commitment to seek the Lord diligently. Set aside some time to read the scriptures. But ask the Lord as you read the Bible. Lord, turn my heart. Unite my heart. Make me love thee. Make me walk in thy ways. Ask him to show you his glory. And then you will learn to know yourself and see the need for Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together. Psalm 431. And those are the very words of our psalm. So now it's your opportunity to pray as well in your thinking as you sing. Start with verse 3. Hear, my children, hear. Saith the Lord who bore thee, never serve nor fear gods of wood or stone. And then in verse 4, open, saith the Lord. So verse 3 and 4.
In the back of your Psalter, you may turn there with me in page 126. There is a short explanation about the significant importance of holy baptism. And we read that always before we administer the baptism. And I will read it with you, making here and there a few comments. The principal or the main parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. There are three elements or messages. The first, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath. That means children under a curse. And that curse is that we are fallen, that we are sinful, unable to save ourselves, and insomuch that we cannot enter the kingdom of God except we are born again. This very truth, the dipping in or the sprinkling with water teaches us, it pictures that, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, pictured, and we are admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation outside ourselves. So that's where we mentioned that already this morning as well. The children and all of us need a new heart. Secondly, holy baptism witnesses and seals unto us the washing away of sins through Jesus Christ. That's where it points to. It points to the work of Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and seals unto us that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs. Therefore, will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. When we are baptized in the name of the Son seals unto us that he does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. That statement can be very confusing. Does baptism wash? Does baptism wash away sin? No. That's clear. Experience tells us, Scripture tells us. But if I am a true believer, if I have learned to seek for my salvation outside of myself in the name of God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ, and have learned to trust in him, my sins are washed. Baptism confirms that. Confirms the washing away of the sins of his children, the believers. Like manner, when we're baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. This morning I shared with you how we fail every week. Every week, every day, every hour. Only we strive to be good and strive to be holy. And what a tremendous blessing when the Holy Ghost assures us again by this sacrament as we see it administered this morning, that it is his work to renew the heart. Christ's work to wash away the guilt. The Spirit's work to wash away the pollution of the heart. Those are the things that God again is setting before us here in this morning in a visual way in baptism.
Now, thirdly, the third part of baptism, there's always two parts in a covenant. Therefore, are we, by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him, love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and a holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. Beautiful, eh? As a husband, I fail. But I have an enduring covenant with my dear wife. Here's my ring as a proof of that. And she is human and committed to me, though I fail. On my forehead, I carry the ring of my eternal God. Though I fail Him daily, He is committed. See? And that ought to stir my heart to more trying to love Him and to serve Him. Children of God, so as you see this morning, this holy sign of baptism, be reminded of what God has done, coming all out of that eternal Father's covenant and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let it stir us again to give our hearts to this triune and Jehovah. Now, what does it all mean to our children then? Let's go to the second part of that. And although our children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam. There it is. They are partakers of the curse. They are born with sin. So are they again received unto grace in Christ. Think of that separation that God made in the Red Sea between the Egyptians and the Israelites. So God separated. That's all it wants to say. They are again received in Christ. This means they are separated in Christ. They're not necessarily saved. Sadly, many of those Israelites who came to the Red Sea, died in the wilderness. Didn't enter the promised land. Whose was fault? Was it the God who purchased them and redeemed them out of Egypt? No. It was the people who rejected Him in the journey with unbelief. So it is today. So, to prove that, the form quotes two scriptures, one from the Old, as God speaks unto Abram, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. There's also the Apostle Peter testifies with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant, and of the righteousness of faith. Therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since unbaptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as the heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to the years of discretion. Now notice in this last phrase, we're going to ask the Lord to bless this ordinance in the administration to his glory. Number one. Number two, to our comfort and edification of his church, the believers in our midst. Yeah, it is not focused so much on the child as we so often think. It is focused on the church. So now let us call upon his holy name in prayer. Let us join our hearts in prayer together in this moment. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou also drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and let Thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was pictured, signified. We beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased of Thy infinite mercy graciously to look upon these two children and incorporate them by Thy Holy Spirit into Thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with Him into His death and be raised with Him in newness of life, that they may daily follow Him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto Him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, and that they may with a comfortable sense of Thy favor leave this life which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ Thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with Thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. May I request you to stand up together here and answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed His covenant. And therefore, it must be used for that end, not out of custom or superstition. And that it may be thus minded that you are manifest, that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely on these three questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries and ultimately to condemnation itself, yet that these children are sanctified, received unto, set aside, dedicated in Christ, and therefore as members of His church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith which is taught here in this Christian church to be the perfect or complete and the true doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Father Tyler Capesell, Mother Emily Capesell, and Mother Bethany Gabriel. I cannot ask you this question in the midst of our congregation, Joseph, until you've become a full member. I know you have said to me you would support your dear wife in this task and no doubt hopefully take great part of it in yourself. Now recall in your mind for a moment the situation where Jesus is met by a few men who are trying to tempt Him. Is it okay to pay taxes to Caesar? And very wisely, He answers them, render unto God what is God's, and unto Caesar's what is Caesar. Your child, is it Caesar's, or is it God's? And He took that coin, and He says, and whose superscription is on this coin? Think about that, parents. There's something written on your child this morning that time and age will never erase. Never. God will see it the moment also your child will appear before Him. He or she responsible for their own choices. But in this short time that you are the custodians of this child, God has asked you, and you have promised, we've heard it, that you would teach your child and nurture him or her and in the teaching and admonition of the Lord God Almighty. That is our task for you and task of us as parents. And we'll be reminded of that this morning too as we see you standing here, that is our task. May the Lord bless you richly, and let Psalm 81 be a continual guide to remind you of this wonderful and almighty God. We sing together 425, verse 3, while the babies are brought into the midst of our assembly here. So 425, the third verse, and after we have done the administration of the baptism, we are going to sing together the fifth verse of 425, and we'll usually have a custom to do that as we stand together. So right after baptism, verse 5. Now verse 3. Isaiah, Joel, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Kylie Rose, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In our Thanksgiving prayer, we give the Lord royal thanksgiving for the church, his elect church that he has chosen from all eternity, that includes adults And children, many children of God are taken in the early stages of their life already. And our fathers thank God for that in the first part of the prayer. So do not make the application that as we pray this first part of the prayer, we are necessarily been able to say that for these children. We do not know that yet. What these two children this morning have been baptized will grow up to be. And so therefore, in the second half of this prayer, we turn to God on behalf of these two children this morning, as well as all other children, that the Lord would bless their hearts with the Holy Spirit's saving work. So do not misunderstand this Thanksgiving prayer, as so many of us do. It sounds like that we are thanking for all these children here. So let's now thank the Lord and close the service with prayer. Almighty God, merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee. Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee through the same sum of Thy love that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, may increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Keziah and Kylie may acknowledge with all our children, may it be so, Lord, Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one true God. Amen. Let us conclude with singing 425, the sixth verse, reminding us again of this covenant and the obligations thereto. The Lord His covenant people planted in lands of nations, including ours, which He granted, that they His statutes might observe. Let's sing verse 6 of 425. The Lord His covenant people granted, amens of nations which He granted, that they His statutes might observe, and from His laws might ever swerve. Let songs of praise to Him ascend, and hallelujahs without end. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
receive now the blessing of God and let's go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Where are all the children? Please remember there is catechism class today.